I mean, we haven't had a scripted intro.
Not really, yeah.
For any of them, so welcome really
to Auditory Hallucinations. There you go, intro.
This week we're talking about crazy shit again, like we have for the last four times.
Yeah,
because why not?
Next week we'll talk about maybe not normal. I won't call it normal. It'll probably.
I have an idea for next week, and it's not normal, but it's not like.
It's not schizophrenic like this.
Well, it's actually legitimately. It actually has to legitimately deal with schizophrenia.
Oh, cool.
But, and it's like there's been a movie about it, documentaries. It's actually a very popular bit of history. You may have heard of the Foxcatcher farm.
So, interesting. This week we're talking about like the rake, the no deer, and every millennial's favorite no deer, not deer, whatever. And every millennial's favorite schizophrenic episode, the Slender Man.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's a hot take.
This is an interesting topic because I did a lot of research for this one. And like the history of this stuff goes back pretty far in like internet history. Yep. Generally these are all internet hoaxes as far as I'm aware. Some of them have some real like ties to folklore and stuff, but like Slenderman has some ties to folklore.
I don't know if any of the ties to folklore with Slenderman have been verified. That's what I kind of got from the stuff originally on Slenderman is that even the folklore is like a fabricated folklore.
So it's not real. Yeah. That the document that the guy put out of all the lore and stuff that he wrote out with all the images and stuff for Slenderman.
It's like 190 pages, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of pages. It's impressive, and it's actually really well written. And if you're interested in reading it, I just going and taking a look at it.
If you're watching Marble Hornets, it's a really good
video. Yeah, that also is amazing. Very, very, very fucking creepy. But,
yeah,
like, what I find interesting is not, it's loosely based off of, or not based off of, but loosely similar to some folklore and like Native American folklore. There's I forget what it's called. This is the one thing I didn't write down because I figured we wouldn't really go that deep into this, but it's loosely based off of folklore that like there's this like really tall, dark figure that stands at the edge of trees and looks at you and just observes. That's kind of how Slenderman behaves in some
That's
of the.
That's just Bobby. That's just Bobby, man. It's fine. I know him. It's good.
Yeah, you know him well? Cause
Yeah. I see him in the trees. Come on.
I never met him.
Chatted with him occasionally.
You nice guy?
Sometimes Yeah. Sometimes he stands on the edge of the trees across the road from you, actually. Across the road from your house.
What a nice guy.
Yeah,
watching over
he's
me?
Great. Yeah, he's watching over you. Great guy.
But, yeah, this stuff goes back, way back. There's been, I think it's called Ted the Caver. It's like an old internet like creepypasta type like ARG type thing.
Is that the one with the M-shaped cave sort of thing? Or is that different?
I didn't get a lot of detail on this one because this one's kind of doesn't really have what we're gonna talk about. It's just general history of all of it, right? Like there's a website that this guy set up. And it was like a spooky story about a cave that this guy went spelunking in, and I think he went like insane or got stuck in it or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
People can get mad at me over that if they want, because I know that's like a pretty popular thing. But is what it is.
You're not recanting my story exactly how I want. I'm gonna make a post on Reddit and bitch about it.
But like that was kind of the beginning of like the ARG stuff or the unfiction, like the analog horror stuff.
Yeah.
Right, which is kind of how we got like these things, you know, like the rake, the Fleshgate, Slenderman, and all that. So that was interesting to read about and listen to some of these videos, because I also found out that the Fleshgate uses the same image as the rake for its like a lot of the like the message boards where people write like stories about it and stuff. So that's interesting.
Well, they're very similar, aren't they?
So the Fleshgate's like a
Fleshgate's like in the forest, and the rake is like in the my bad.
Well, it's interesting. There's it's two versions of the rake.
The suburbs.
Right. There's the rake that 4chan came up with. Which I think it was 4chan or a different forum website.
It was 4chan, I believe, yeah.
And that one was actually more similar to what I had mentioned, where like it was which it had some similarities to Slenderman, where it was a dark figure that would stand like in the trees and like watch outside of your house.
Yeah.
Right, but it wouldn't it would only attack you if it was provoked.
And we can touch on like why that is as well. And it's like the best horror is probably, in my opinion, kind of falls into that uncanny valley region.
Yeah.
And like the rake and the Slender Man, because they're both humanoids, fall into that uncanny valley.
It creeps me the fuck out. And I know for a fact they're not real. So
Slender Man creeped me out when I was younger at the time when it was happening. Because this interesting about this too is we've all lived through and like remember like when these things got big.
Yeah.
We all lived through that and like the time. Like, I remember when those girls killed the guy over Slender Man.
Yeah. It was a big part of our of internet history, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a lot of, like, the beginning of my notes here, like, a lot of the stuff I had written down, like, a lot of this stuff, like, creepypasta wasn't even a concept yet, right, when it came to, like, Ted the Caver and, like, some of these, other, short stories that you find. We started to, like, I guess the internet decided to create their own mythology at a certain point. And that's kind of where it like where like the Fleshgate and like stuff like the Rake is kind of where it led to, in Slenderman and stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like the creation of modern folklore, or what do we call it, like urban legends now?
Urban legends, but yeah.
It's like widely known that they're fake, but also a lot of people think they're not. We'll touch on this later. I think is like there are cases of people seeing things similar to a lot of these things that we'll discuss.
Yeah, that's why I bring up the folklore. That
the no deer and shit, to. I can see people mistaking for some kind of paranormal shit. I mean, the deer's a fucking deer.
Yeah,
I mean,
a deer standing on its hind legs. Yeah.
I've seen deers up close in the woods. It's like a deer, not deers, but it's what people are likely seeing is there's two diseases that affect deer that are we can discuss later. But like it's the not deer is people are seeing something, but they don't know much about deer.
Yeah,
it's kind of like mad cow disease, except it's for deer.
Yeah. Generally, when these people see this, they're filming them. They're like right next to them, and they're like standing up at their door. So, yeah. Like, they probably are diseased, looking for food, or just fucking angry at
maybe
them.
They just want to borrow a little sugar.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, and there's the center of their body opens up and there's a massive flailing fleshy tentacles.
I enjoy that we're at the like a different angle of this now, because before we talked about stuff that like could or could not be real, but most of this stuff is definitely not real. Like it was made up on the internet.
You tell me all the video games where you go into the woods looking for pieces of paper and there's some dude in a suit stalking you is not real?
Unfortunately it's only real in your dreams, Brad.
God damn it, Markiplier lied to me.
He did.
Fucker.
But yeah, a lot of the creepypasta stuff got passed around the internet for a while. And like there's different and there's SCP forms and stuff like that that tie into that. But I think the main thing that we could talk about is Tulpa in relation to this.
Yeah. We're definitely gonna hit the Tulpa. We should probably go into what they are first. Specifically, what like the rig is, and like Slender Man's got a pretty big like lore behind it.
Yeah, I
and there's the famous case with Slender Man.
Yeah, I would recommend anyone listening to go in and research and like read up on Slender Man themselves, because it is very well written, and the guy spent a lot of time like writing all this stuff and putting it together.
How dare you assume their gender?
Hey, amen. Yeah, be careful.
A lot of things.
Well, actually, this was before all that stupid shit, so yeah, it doesn't matter.
It was.
But
yeah, I mean,
God, that was so fucking long ago. I think I was just graduating.
We were in middle school, maybe elementary school.
Oh shit, that was
late elementary, early middle school.
Yeah,
for us,
I can't. I think it was either right after I graduated high school or right when I started going to college. But no, I remember that shit. I remember all the video games and shit. And that's how a bunch of people got big on Let's Plays was doing that shit. Yeah. And
Markiplier, I thought it was a big one from that.
Yeah, I thought a lot of it was stupid. I just don't like jump scares. I hate fucking jump scares.
Yeah, I'm terrible with those.
I remember
my fifth grade teacher showed us the car going down the windy road, and then the fucking woman jumps up in front of you. That was in fifth grade. That scared the teacher. He's like, there's just like fifth grade at Halloween. He's like, hey guys, this is kind of cool. Watch this.
That traumatized me. I forget who showed me that.
Two teachers are psychopaths, man. Let's be honest. A lot of teachers are nuts.
Oh yeah, they are.
I wonder why people hate teachers now.
I remember first hearing about it from a friend in elementary school. And then I think all this stuff happened with those girls when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
I think that was when we were in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was when we were in eighth grade.
Yeah, just to describe Slenderman, he's tall, stark white, wears a suit, tendrils. Kind of, you know, come out of him and stuff. He's very, it's almost eldritch, right? It's almost indescribable, right? Because you look at someone like that and you're like, okay, well, there's no, defining features of his face, but it's, still terrifying.
It's interesting, too, because I had, the lore changes depending on where you are and who you hear from, right? On the internet, the lore is the tendrils. I was not on the internet at this time, really, when, I was in elementary school hearing about the Slender Man, and the tendrils were not a part of the legend I was told. I was told it was a man in a suit with a white, face.
Yeah.
With no features. I was not... There was no mention of tendrils.
If you read the document that was written out, that's mentioned quite a bit. Multiple limbs, essentially.
Yeah, I found that out researching it for this show.
Yeah.
I had been under the assumption that it was not a tendril drain.
It's really interesting how stuff like that changed too, because that totally could have just been because someone wrote their own thing or copy and pasted something and on the internet and someone else read it, or it was a fan, story or something like that. That person who told you about it read and stuff and didn't detail anything. It could have been the fact that I don't think that he had tentacles in the original 8 pages game.
No, the Japanese had that. I refuse to back down on that. If I'm gonna get canceled, I'm gonna get canceled for something good.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Better.
You might as well commit. Moving on from that though, generally the stuff I've read about it, he's very much he's an enigma. He steals children and people in general, it seems like. Forces children to do pretty nasty things, and that's kind of where it plays into the real life crime that was committed over Man, what are we? We must be. Are we 4 for 4? Have we mentioned?
I think we mentioned Epstein every episode. Yeah, Slenderman. the real deep lore actually is that Slenderman is real. He's an agent of Bill Clinton. Yeah. One of Bill Clinton's top guys.
One of Bill Clinton's top G's.
Yeah, he's one of Bill Clinton's top G's.
Yeah, but
he's also Catholic.
So that case was interesting because I had to do a lot of watching videos and reading about that, because I wasn't fully aware of what the fuck happened when I was younger, because I just, my dad mentioned it. You know that Slenderman thing? Yeah, two girls tried to kill some girl over it. And I'm like, wow, that's fucking crazy. What's for dinner? And I'm like, all right. Yeah.
I had a little Mandela effect thing too when we were in this, when I was doing the research today, actually. when I watched that video that you sent me.
Why, whatever.
And it was well, I was under the impression, and I swear, dude, I could have sworn they killed her. I swore that girl was dead. And I think I said that last week when we talked after the show about what we I think I said, oh yeah, they killed a girl. And that girl died. I swore I would have, if you asked me on Slender Man about the killing, I would swear to you, I would have sworn you until right now that, yeah, no, they killed someone.
I couldn't remember. But when I looked it up, it immediately came back to me that, because I remember vividly hearing about it a couple of years ago, again, because someone had mentioned it in a video I was watching or something, that the girl who got stabbed crawled up from the area in the park where she got stabbed, like up to the path to hail a biker, right? But basically, like, they planned this whole thing out, these like psycho kids, and they fucking, and I don't mean to talk bad on the mentally ill, but like, it's probably psychosis. So psycho in the literal sense.
I mean, they were both committed to institutions. They weren't put in jail. They were committed to institutions for 40 years apiece.
Yeah. But
which can be appealed and then get out if they're cured. But, like, they're institutionalized.
These kids had this, like, plan to kill this girl that they were, like, friends with at a sleepover. It fell through a couple times, like, during the sleepover and stuff. And it just, They ended up in a park during the, I think it was during broad daylight, believe it or not, which is kind of insane. They stabbed the girl in the park and nearly killed her, barely missed her heart with one of the stab wounds. And then she asked for help and they got convicted for assaulting her with a deadly weapon. And sentenced to a mental institution. Pretty dope. Not very dope, actually, at all. But I don't know, man. That's some creepy shit. And they said Slenderman told him to do that.
Man, the youth is so fucked up.
I mean, that's what I would say, but
everybody who just rolled their eyes, oh, look at this millennial boomer talking shit about the youth. Nah, there's definitely side effects of being, like, attached online. Now, if I remember the story correctly, I think these two were bullied a lot, and I don't
potentially.
I don't really excuse bullying, but so there's a difference between a boy bullying a boy and a girl bullying a girl. Girls bullying other girls is fucking horrendous.
Yeah, they're pretty ruthless.
Like, it's fucking horrendous. Like, I know boys, I know other males I went to school with who just beat the shit out of each other and became friends.
Yeah.
Women will literally break each other's fucking minds.
Yeah.
It's the craziest shit in the world.
Men bullying each other psychologically often doesn't work. Especially because male friends do that to each other.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's kind of
friends, like, poke at each other in the way women do.
Yeah, you know how many times I've told both of you to kill yourselves?
You told us
and
that
we still haven't done it yet.
Because you're bitches.
Nick, that's what you think, brother.
for those of you who can't see the screen, he just pulled a gun out. He thinks
he's hard.
You
were supposed to say that, brother.
It was a Nerf gun, don't worry.
Nerf.
Oh, yeah, it is a Nerf gun, whatever.
It's Nerf or nothing.
It's nerdy.
Hard.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You have to wonder it, because these girls, like, came across this. They had to have read the part in the lore where that, like, there's a part, like, written in the document that details two little girls. One of them, like, sacrificed. I think it was sacrificing one of them.
It's it's supposed to be folklore from Romania. It's the original, like, the main folktale, and it's the girls are picking berries in the woods with their mother, and their mother is spoken to by some entity. Slenderman was the entity who tells one of the girls to draw a circle with a knife, and then crush berries in the circle, and they do. And then the one girl is supposed to lie down in that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other girl is told to cut her open.
Yeah.
Ostensibly for harvesting organs, which is something associated heavily with the Slenderman, especially the intestines.
Yeah.
And then the girl refuses to do it and runs home to her father. And her father leaves with an axe and tells her to lock the door. And the father and says, don't open the door to anyone except for me. And then her mother shows up at the door. And her mother kicks it in when she won't open it. And, I don't know, says something to her. And then Slenderman comes down the chimney like Santa.
Yeah.
Fireplace. And wraps her up. And then she is gone. She's done. Yeah.
So. Creepy. But not real. That's the weird part. Like,
actually, a lot of all these things except for the Noctier, both Rake and Slenderman have heavily like big histories, including in like history and folklore and stuff. But they're all fabricated. There's nothing real about them. People generated them and even wrote them in like similar dialect to how like the time would be written.
Yeah, which is really cool. It's really creative.
It is for
horror. I'm always impressed by things like analog horror and ARGs and stuff like that. And
I'm always impressed by what the autists on 4chan can do.
Yeah, that too.
A lot. They just don't handle it towards anything productive at all.
Yeah. Well.
And it's only the weird boards too, because I go on 4chan quite a bit, and they don't really post that shit on there anymore. That's like a.
That was a B thing, I think. The rake.
Yeah.
Now B is just pornography, I'm pretty sure. Mostly.
Probably and gore.
And then and gore. And then X is like, this is the sort of thing you would think comes from X, but like I go on X occasionally, and X is like people claiming these insane things happen, but they're real.
They're like gang stalking and stuff on there, right? Like, isn't that?
Oh, probably. I mean, I think a large portion of the people on like X are schizophrenic, so
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, are you telling me people that are chronically online are fucked up?
No, never.
The rake. How to describe this? That one is an interesting one because I've seen the image used a couple different times for a couple different like. Creepypastas and stuff, like including the Fleshgate, but not limited to that either. I've seen it on other shit. The rake is supposed to be like some kind of like sleep paralysis type demon, like almost like a Sandman, kind of feeds off of your dreams or something like that. In the like the finalized version of the lore, where a lot of the creepypastas are written. And it's like a very gaunt body, like very akin to like how you'd describe a Wendigo, or how a Wendigo is described occasionally. And
or a Fleshgate, as you had said earlier.
Yeah, or a Fleshgate, apparently, is how which that's another interesting thing to bring up. Like just like kind of as like a little branch off of that, because they use Skinwalker and like Wendigo lore for that. Like it's able to mimic human speech. It's able it transforms into someone that you would like that you like. The way that its powers work is that it transforms into someone, and like you swear that you know them. You've known them your whole life. And they like show up in your like group when you're walking through the woods, and they and he tries to pick you off and like and kill you one by one. That's the whole story.
If I'm correct, it's someone that you swear you've known your whole life,
mm-hmm.
but if you were to really pay attention, you'd notice there was something off.
Yeah,
there's something wrong.
Yeah,
which ties in with like demon lore and the fact like you know like the devil is often portrayed as like a blind man at the crossroads or someone who's lame or something.
Yeah,
because demons are supposed to be able to assume human form, but never perfectly, because only God's creation is perfect. And so they always have some sort of physical deformity to them.
Yep.
Something that's wrong.
There's a detail that's always off, is generally how the Fleshgate is described, which is interesting. And again, that pulls from even more like lore from and, different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of creepypastas associated with the rake.
Oh yeah, and the rake isn't just one thing either. That's the weird part.
Yeah, so that's the thing is most of the creepypasta is associated with the rake, which is part of the reason why people confused it and thought it was real, is because it doesn't. Most of like the popular creepypastas don't actually conform well to the final form of what B created.
Yeah,
they don't properly exhibit like the tendencies of the rake or its perfect form or anything like that. But they're clearly based off the same thing, which is why some people thought, oh, maybe it's real.
Yeah. But in reality, it's just a conflation of, like, multiple different cultures and some made-up stuff a lot of the time. It's interesting, for sure.
Well, it's like the whole SCP thing, like... The yeah. original, like, 2,000 of them are really good. Like, they are really, really, really good, well put together, thought out pieces of fiction. Like if you go on the SCP Wikipedia and you read like the original like 2,000 or whatever, they are very good. It's like because it was built by a community that actually gave a shit about the universe and the creatures and the phenomena they were creating. That's why a lot of these early things, because these are early, none of these things we're talking about now are modern day. This is all like 12, 15 years ago. And you could tell the difference between these, where they have very well put together backstories, descriptions, abilities, what have you. And then the modern day shit where it's just like jump scares and just still creepy and shit, but it's not necessarily like,
it's more skill.
Well, yes, but there's a skill when you put together something like this, because that's why if you watch movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or you watch the original Saw, or you watch pick a horror movie that came out before Blair Witch 2015. Project. Yeah, there's a reason why these things are cult classics and they're well known. It's because they actually have a story in them. There's drama, there's buildup, there's payoff. A lot of this shit nowadays is just like, oh, like if you read any of the modern SCP stuff, it's like, oh, it's a haunted tissue box that makes you kill yourself if you take too many tissues out of it. It's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, it gets to a point where it gets like real lazy and stuff. But I think it speaks to the human imagination that we feel the need to make stuff like this up still, and talk about scary stories and like what like and apply like our fears to something that's not real and stuff like that, and kind of embody those fears, right? It's pretty cool. It's a really interesting thing, and I think it's good, it's really good, and when it's bad, it's probably like really fucking stupid and like really awfully written. And the handful of these are pretty well written, and. You see a rise in like the popularity of like the hypnagogic archive is an ARG thing, like an unfiction thing, like analog horror. That's really interesting because it's like this fake archive, or not fake, they're real videos and stuff. Like people made them, and I don't know if they're all from the same place, but they're repurposed, if anything. To like tell this story, like and you know, like make this story up and make it very creepy and put a very very strange vibe out onto the internet that like people might come across and be like, oh whoa, and they'll do a double take and be like, is this real? And I think that's what people were trying to do with these things, but. Unfortunately, like most things, they kind of fall apart when you put them under a microscope. There's a lot of people like the rake, for instance. A lot of people did think that was real. Like there were people out there on TikTok being like, "Oh my god, look at this footage of the rake! Holy crap, it's so scary!" It's like edited footage of like this fucking gaunt thing walking around. Like it was. pretty clearly like source filmmaker type shit with like filters, I mean, and stuff over it.
We've probably all seen that like famous image of like the night vision camera image.
Yeah, heavily like, edited. There's an original
thing with its like head turned at 180 and its like arms are turned wrong and it's like, bent in a weird way.
Yeah, the original image of that is like, I don't know if it was it. I think it was just a image, blank. Huh?
It's like source image, isn't it?
I don't know.
Like edited onto it. Yeah, it's like a 3D model. Like,
yeah, it's like a. I don't know what they edited onto it, but it was just a blank image of like night vision.
Yeah, and then it's filtered, and then they filtered the model to make it look like it blends in with everything.
Yeah, it was a really well done Photoshop. That's how Slenderman started too.
Yeah, there's a lot of really well done Photoshops for Slenderman.
It's honestly, it's artistic as fuck. Like, people go really hardcore into this.
It's an aesthetic.
Yeah,
Slenderman is an aesthetic.
Which
Slenderman core
in itself is almost problematic, man. Yeah, but you know, yeah, the rake is a weird thing. Generally, like, it just, the story for the rake is a little bit less good than Slenderman, like, in my opinion.
It's, I don't know that it's less good. Well, yeah, I mean, it's less developed.
Like, less developed, yeah, that's what I mean. And, sorry, the bourbon's fucking hitting. My
it happens.
My language isn't very complex now.
It's less developed, but it's also, I thought you just opened a freaking bottle of bourbon and just started drinking straight out of it.
No, it was a water bottle.
I was like, oh my lord. But, no, it was, it also didn't catch on as much as the Slenderman
did. Yeah, that's true.
Here's the interesting thing about like the rake and the fleshgate like idea is that, which kind of ties in what we're going to talk about in a bit, is it's not it's Slenderman. Nobody sees Slenderman like really sees Slenderman.
No, the, I mean, if they do, they're
people. Yeah, there might be a little out there, but normal people have reported seeing things that approximate to the rake and the fleshgate.
Right,
and, like, well, that... actually, one of the things that I've heard of, a podcast, I don't remember what episode or anything like that. It was Crypto Not Podcast, but I listened to a lot. In Wayne County, Pennsylvania, somebody saw a thing similar to a fleshgate or a rake on the side of the road at night while driving their car. And it freaked them out. And people see things like that on the side of the road, typically at night, kind of.
Right.
Which, it doesn't happen often, but that begs the question, like, like these are completely fictional things. We can trace what they're. We can trace it.
You trace them fully.
These aren't fictional like stories. People are like embellishing. These are like, yeah, I saw something really weird on the side of the road that disturbed me, and that's that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could probably explain them in some way, and you know, you could even explain them away with other folklore and stuff too, mm-hmm. especially if the description of the Wendigo is like accurate to some of the accounts of the Algonquin, like it could be very gaunt, like very gaunt version of a corrupted like person via cannibalism. Who knows?
That's true. I mean, Wayne County, PA is not a like Algonquin territory.
That's true. Yeah,
Wayne County is next to the. It's like probably an hour from where we were.
Well, that is the other thing about this stuff, right? Is like people explain it away with that, like that kind of stuff. But like there are these certain like legends are only specific to certain tribes. Like
yeah,
the Navajo have the Skinwalker, and that's a very specific like thing, and it's not what people think it is either.
And it's not a Wendigo, which people equate them as the same.
Yeah, they're so. Not. It's weird. And I mean, it speaks to the imagination of people, you know, like, who knows? Maybe they did see something. What yeah. was it exactly what they think they saw, or was it like a sick animal or something like that too? Like, that's always a total possibility. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few of these.
Were they on drugs?
That all tribes have, or that most tribes have. The only one that I can really think of that most tribes have is Bigfoot. Most tribes have a story wild of a hairy man, yeah. wild man living in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But most don't have a skinwalker or a Wendigo.
No. The Wachuge up north in Canada, I think, is similar to a Wendigo.
Yeah, I think they're considered, like, analogous.
Yeah.
Entities with different names. But, yeah, I think something interesting about the little side, not off topic, a little bit of change of course. Something interesting about the Rake is it is a cryptid story, but something that the creepypastas do that is interesting is that the Rake is a physical entity that you just see and it's a cryptid in most of the lore. Most of the creepypastas equate it with like a sleep paralysis demon come alive.
Yeah.
Which is interesting in my opinion.
That is interesting. And it's there's some science based in it, right? Because it's not cold hard science, but sleep paralysis is a very like real thing. So
it's a very real thing where we come out of REM sleep. And we are our mind is awake and our body is not.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever experienced that yet, but I know people that have, and they told me it's like the worst thing possible.
Generally genetic.
Yeah, I've heard it's typically terrible. Yeah. Never experienced it. You can accidentally, because people who try to induce lucid dreaming sometimes accidentally induce sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that's the thing on its own, because when you try and induce lucid dreaming, you're doing stuff that you probably shouldn't be doing, like, to do that, you know? Like, your body needs REM sleep. Like, it's supposed to go into REM sleep, and if you tamper with that at all, it throws your body like way off. Like people with
narcolepsy
and stuff like that, like experience some like really problematic issues. And what is it?
Insomnia.
It's thing where you can't breathe that well when you.
God, I should know this. My dad has this. I should know.
Yeah.
It's not PTSD. It's yes. No, it's not PTSD. Sleep apnea.
Yeah. Sleep apnea. My dad's got that. Like stuff like that will cause you to like go in and out of REM sleep. And honestly, it would make sense because a lot of people used to say that it was like way back in the day that it was because of diet. But sleep apnea can be caused by like weight issues, like obesity and stuff.
Here is the interesting thing, though, about sleep paralysis, is that we know what causes sleep paralysis. We do not know what causes you to leave REM sleep like that.
No.
We don't know why people leave REM sleep when they do.
Is the aliens changing the connection?
Demons, brother.
Generally,
that's what I say, brother.
Wait, when things like that happen, it's the brain is a really fucking complex instrument. I'm not a neuroscientist, but I took a couple classes on it. When you look into how sleep works and stuff, we hardly know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about the brain and how it interacts with the sleep. Well, they do sleep studies and stuff, and that's how they figure out if you have apnea and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's originally how they figured out what sleep paralysis was too.
Yeah,
they figured out they knew people that had it frequently. They like studied them when they were sleeping, and when they reported the habit, they said, "Yeah, there was nothing in the room. You were just like asleep."
Yeah,
but like your eyes came open and your eyes were moving around, but nothing else was.
Like people with sleep paralysis generally describe like having like this really bad pressure on their chest and not being able to move, and like sometimes they'll see stuff, which. I mean, think about it this way. When you're sleeping and you're like halfway in between REM sleep and not, like you dream in REM sleep. When you're coming out of that, totally possible for you to be like dream, like the way that the chemicals release in your brain and stuff. So that's the scientific explanation.
I think there may be like a somewhat supernatural like phenomenon behind it. Because I think it's very similar with compounds like dimethyltryptamine, DMT. I don't think DMT is analogous to like mushrooms or acid or anything like that. Because people on DMT see the same thing when they're tripping together.
Yeah.
And hallucinations in your mind. It's not, you shouldn't be seeing the same thing as people around you. But similar to that, how sleep paralysis, obviously it's a solo experience. But there's a couple archetypes of things that people seem to see.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Not like everyone doesn't see their own unique sleep paralysis demon.
No, well, some people do. It depends.
Some people do, but a lot of people see the same entity in their room or in their bedroom or on their chest. And I think that's indicative of something more like sinister and more than just a
could be
more than just like chemicals interacting in your brain.
Could be. It could
similar
be
similar to how DMT, like people seeing the same like elf come out of the forest.
Yeah,
the same machine elf is more indicative of.
Yeah, but a lot of those people that claim to see elves and shit are also like crazy fucking like commie hippies that talk about like season and means of production and shit.
It's well known though that people who go on like ayahuasca retreats in South America as a group, the group will all see the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're primed for that environment, I could see that happening.
That is the thing, right? Like, how easily were they, easily are people suggested to see the same thing?
Guiding them to see the same thing. But I still think it's suspect, because a hallucination is unique. A hallucination is something you see in your mind.
Yeah.
It's created by chemicals in your brain.
It's an interesting question to ask. The thing is, we don't know. Like, we don't know what exactly causes that people to see that kind of stuff, which is really creepy, to be honest, because in that case, it's up in the air. And anything that we don't know, a lot of the time we explain with folklore, mythology, religion, and stuff like that.
Which is why, we don't know, that's one of those, like, I would never take DMT. Never.
No.
Because I'm not exposing myself to whatever the heck is there.
Who the fuck knows, man?
Like, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not exposing. Kind of
just doesn't
want
to open up his psyche to the fourth, for the to the second or the fifth dimension.
Yeah. I'm already in the fifth dimension, brother. But I don't want to open up the demons sitting over my mind.
The way the rake works is like they'll visit you in your sleep, fucking suck your dreams out of your brain or something for a while. Then all of a sudden you'll get visited by it, and then you'll kill yourself.
I mean, I'm lonely enough as it is, so that might work out.
Well, then you should go on X and see what they have to say about being lonely. They have some threat. They have some.
You don't have to be lonely. You could sit there and take CBT oils, and you can translucent yourself into a second reality.
The thing with X, dude. X will have like I want X occasionally for cryptid threads, dude. X is nuts. X is like divination thread, but one of the biggest threads on X is always a succubus summoning thread.
Yeah, the best ones on there are the lonely men who are trying to summon a succubus.
That plays into the next thing that we're going to talk about.
Loneliness? I had a lot of that.
Well, topomancers and tulpas.
Yeah.
The concept of tulpas.
I'll be right back.
But we haven't talked about the not deer yet fully, if we have any more to cover on that.
So. Let's pull into the knot here, because Brad just left, and I'm about to leave too. So let's edit this little section out where we all say we're leaving, and then
okay,
talk about the knot here. I gotta take this.
All right,
I'm mostly through that 2 liters of beer,
Jesus
or that age. 1 liter. Of beer.
Damn, bro, that's crazy. They're both gone. Anyway, now I get to tell you about subscribing to the channel and hitting the notification bell and following and liking the podcast and all that good stuff. Like, do that. You should do that right now. You should do that. And if we have the Patreon set up, you should subscribe to that immediately. That would be pretty cool of you. You don't have to, but you're pretty neat. Anyway,
that's good.
But now we are, because now we're actually talking about it.
Well, we're talking about
the not deer.
Yeah, the not deer. So yeah, so there's two, like the not deer kind of originates on TikTok, as far as I can tell. It's a very new phenomenon, but it's basically people started saying like, this is a staple of Appalachian folklore going back centuries.
And
I'm from the north, and I say Appalachian, but I say Appalachian. My bad. But
well, you say water wrong too, so I gotta beat you over the head with a brick.
I'm gonna bury you in water till you drown.
You're not gonna do fucking shit, alright? Chill out.
Okay. But, no, so the not... okay.
Okay.
So, like, the not deer, it's, they're saying, like, oh, it's, like, Appalachian folklore, Appalachian... Like, I say it both ways. Who cares? Appalachian folklore, what do you call it? And it goes back centuries, people have been seeing them.
Right.
Now, I found an interesting Reddit thread on this, and a bunch of people from Appalachia, or who claim to be from Appalachia, they chime in and say, hey, I've never heard of this. This is not Appalachian folklore. You're completely wrong. And which I tend to agree with. I had never heard of it in the cryptid space before 7 months ago to a year ago, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how long ago it was, but it was relatively recently. People like show videos of these deer acting weird with their eyes that are like facing more forwards, allegedly, like predators do. But really, their eyes aren't facing more forwards. Their eyes are bulging out of their heads.
Right.
It's what makes them look like that. And it's because there's two diseases that basically make deer look weird and act weird. There's chronic wasting disease, which is relatively rare, started in the, it's not rare, but it's not like the whole deer population's affecting with it, because if there is, if it was, there would be no, like, deer left. Because chronic wasting disease, there's no survival rate. They just die. And it's a neurological disease caused by an infected prion, which messes with the deer's head. And I think it bores holes in its brain and makes it act weird. And but then the more likely one is epizootic hemorrhagic disease, I believe, EHD, which is also called blue tongue, I'm pretty sure. And it causes the deer's tongue to swell up and go blue, making their mouth hang really far open.
Right, like the pictures I've seen.
With the not deer... incident with people claim not deer's mouths hang open and salivate a lot, and they have different teeth, which there's no, the EHG isn't caused different teeth, but their tongue goes blue, which makes it look like it's a weird tendril.
Usually you just
mouth.
Don't see deer teeth, so
no,
it could just be that people are like, man, those are weird looking teeth, because they don't see them usually.
Much like chronic wasting disease, EHD also causes them to lose all fear of humans.
Yes, yeah, so they'll like walk right up to them.
They'll walk right up to you.
And then all of a sudden,
it messes them up. They look very like messed up. I believe they start having like lesions and stuff that are like and like open. I believe they start bleeding from like their like eyes and their ears occasionally too.
God, it sounds like a fucking plague deer from WoW.
Yeah, they might have like blood on their face, which makes it look like they've just consumed something.
Yeah.
People claim they've seen deer eating meat, which deer do.
When
food is scarce, meat still gives them nutrients. They'll eat meat if they have to.
I mean, humans will eat other humans if absolutely necessary. You know what? We touched on this earlier, but the actual cannibalistic side effects that humans go through when they eat another person is fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, your mind knows it's wrong, but your stomach's like, fuck it, we gotta do this. Yeah. And then you go into survivor's guilt mode and all this other neurological shit, because it's like, you're not supposed to be doing this.
And that could be the reason that the legends of, like Wendigos exist, right? Because these people go, like, somewhat insane, because they just had to consume people, and it affected them mentally, right?
That's the most common thought. And, I mean, like, Wendigo psychosis is a legitimate psychological disorder, where people have an unabating craving for meat, for human meat. Yeah.
Guy's name? I know the families don't like people talking about, but the Jeffrey Dahmer case where he was eating people and stuff.
I don't care if the families don't want us talking about it. Netflix released a show about it.
Yeah, true.
So if Netflix can talk about it, so can we.
they're very bothered by it, but yeah,
they
It's people.
That was a weird sexual thing, though, I think, wasn't it?
I have no clue. We could talk about that kind of stuff for another one.
The Wendigo psychosis is not a sexual thing. It's just an
craving.
Uncanny craving for meat, human meat. But, it's like the deer, like, eating meat, like, that's not out of the ordinary.
No, it's not.
Diseases explain the not deer perfectly. Really, what it shows me is, what speaks to me here is that, like, I think a lot of, especially TikTokers, more like technologically savvy people like that, like are probably more likely to be from suburban or urban areas that don't really have a lot of deer. And I know, like, I used to work at a state park in Pennsylvania, in western Pennsylvania, and I know it's a very big state park, and we had a lot of people come up from Pittsburgh. People that had knew nothing about the woods, knew nothing about animals, and knew nothing about, like, if they'd seen a deer, they'd be like, oh, look, a deer, that's amazing. I'm like, I see these in my yard every day.
Say they walk through my yard regularly. They get hit in front of my house regularly, too.
Like, I almost hit these things in my car constantly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I know people who have plowed absolutely straight through them.
And it's, you know. Yeah, it's like, these people just don't understand that deer get this ease like anyone else does. And it just looks like a cryptid, I guess, to them. EHD, by the way, also has a 10% survival rate for deer. Yeah. So if you see a deer with it, it might be fine. It might survive.
10% is not a lot.
It's not very high. But
dude, it's lower
that's
than,
how populations stay down, usually, is hunting and stuff like that. It's a natural way for...
It's like...
overpopulation
it's one way happen.
I know what this actually is. This is what we perceive as crazy deers are actually aliens, because we keep thinking aliens are supposed to look like little green men or gray dudes. No, fucking aliens are deer.
And you say you're not the schizophrenic one.
I'm not the schizophrenic one. I'm the intelligent one.
Well, I'm definitely
IQ test would beg to differ.
But
Nick is our overlord.
I'm settled down there.
There's
this running joke that I have, that I have 8 intelligence, which is below average. D&D.
8 intelligence is below average. Yeah. So,
8 intelligence, average is 10, right?
Yeah.
It's like not even alive intelligence. Like
8 intelligence is like you cannot speak English clearly. Or common.
You can't speak at all.
I gotta tell you a story about not speaking English clearly after the podcast. It's very fascinating.
In Baldur's Gate, you can. I have 8 intelligence in Baldur's Gate. You can speak. But that may just be because you have to play the game.
So you couldn't play the game if you couldn't speak.
Yeah. I don't know what the rules are in 5e for that, but yeah, I mean, God's it could like be.
I run into people in Hell at Loose all the time that have sub-8 intelligence and can't speak English.
Those might just be foreign
commander.
People.
Oftentimes, they're the commander.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work well.
Those just might be French people on U.S. servers for some reason.
Oui, baguette. Oh, shit.
I think this just speaks to, like, how little, like, mythology we have now. Right? And, like, and how people, like, attached like meaning to certain things, right?
Well, we don't necessarily need mythology anymore, because
we
went from explaining natural phenomena by having gods and goddesses and jealousy and titanic fights to it's summer because the planet is tilted this far away from the sun. We have hurricanes because this tropical depression hit this warm body of water and sucked up the energy and created a hurricane. We have scientific processes now that explain this shit. We don't really need mythology anymore.
There's like a greater sociological and like
community-based
effect that it has on people, right? So
I think a lot of people still use elements of mythology to make sense of their world, because obviously nobody has the answer for everything. But like,
right? Well, I mean, a good scientist would say that they don't have the answer for everything.
I think people need mythology and need I personally believe that religion is an inborn thing in every single person, regardless of whether you call yourself an atheist or an agnostic or a religious person or not. And that, like, mythology, like, traditionally mythology springs from religion. Mm-hmm. And that, like, people need mythology to function properly. And they need religion to function properly. Yeah. And that people without it will find their own sort of mythology or sort of religion. Like, you see a lot of people who, like, physics is their mythology. There's a lot of things in physics that we don't understand. We believe they potentially work, and that's why they work, but we don't understand how they work. But people latch onto that like it is a religious code.
Yeah. I
think people that, like, that don't have the IQ to understand that need a mythology. And that's not like a bash or like unintelligible.
No,
can't understand that or anything like that. Like physics, like I didn't study physics. There's no reason
I took calculus. Physics. It was like way over my head, man.
I dropped out of calculus. but But I forgot how to do math in 4
Which,
years.
like, people might hear that and be like, okay, that makes sense. That's why they're podcasting and talking about fucking schizophrenic shit on the internet.
That's why they can't hold down real jobs.
I have a... Never mind. I have a kind of real job. It's real. You know, I do things, but...
It's real, all right.
But, like, people need some sort of mythology, and that's kind of probably part of it. Like, the internet provides mythology. And a lot of that mythology is, like, stuff like this. And other parts of that mythology are, like, I don't know, Q.
And you see stuff, yeah.
You know?
This might be a fucking hack job of an edit for this episode. Well,
we can mention, the letter Q is something I can mention. It's just a letter in the alphabet, man.
Yeah, just briefly. And we'll move on from that now.
It comes right before the letter R.
Yep.
Santa Queen.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people like use this to explain the world and like maybe attain some sort of meaning. Maybe attribute like stuff like their fears to stuff like to something so that they can kind of cope with it, right? Because that's a lot of what mythology was in a way too for people, right? It's not just like the Greek and Roman mythology or like world religions and stuff, right? It's like smaller mythology and like tribes and stuff like that, like the natives, they had their rituals and stuff that were important for like becoming like men in their society or women, you know. So it's an interesting thing.
About the cutting out people's hearts and throwing the bodies into volcanoes to appease the agricultural gods.
Listen, I'm not one.
That's a really interesting take. That I have a very hot take on about psychedelics, and I'll very, very briefly say that, even though it's somewhat off topic, because I really want to say it.
Okay.
Be wary of, like, we say, like, we're a culture, as a culture, a lot of people say, like, we should embrace psychedelics, because
I'm good.
Positive. But, like, the only people who've ever embraced psychedelics as a culture did end up cutting out thousands of people's hearts and throwing them off pyramids.
Yeah.
So, I think that should be a cautionary tale that, like, well, maybe you can use psychedelics every once in a while. If
you just
want.
Take the right psychedelics.
You can definitely use them to treat mental illness, which
is microdosing. But embracing psychedelics might lead you to throwing things off.
Embracing them totally?
Particularly human
organs. Probably not a good idea.
The elves might tell you to do horrific things.
Yeah, just plays right back into the mythology thing, because they thought they were appeasing gods, but. It could have that could have just been 100% like just delusions.
Well, I would say it's I don't know if I'd say delusions, but I'd say they weren't appeasing gods.
All right,
they may have been appeasing some other sort of entity, but yeah. I don't know if it was a god, brother. But where the hell were we?
We were just kind of talking generally about how the internet like makes these things up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it makes these things up, and, like all these things, we've given a really good, like, these are, like, three, like, somewhat relevant and, like, good examples of the internet creating a quote-unquote cryptid.
Yeah.
Which, like, I personally, like, as someone who likes to research cryptids and would like to get
the... No, it's not like the first 5 episodes of this fucking podcast haven't been about cryptids.
The first one wasn't. The first one was about Antarctica.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. That one was like conspiratorial almost. We could do a missing 411 episode.
Dude, I'll go deep on that. I'll go real deep. No, but like as someone who enjoys like research and cryptids and wants to get deeper into it, like I don't particularly like cryptids being made up and taken seriously. Like obviously I don't mind the Rake or Slender Man as they're clearly like creepypastas. But something like the Not Deer, like, people are, like, trying to say it's real, which just delegitimizes, like, the cryptozoological community more.
Yeah.
It's
already pretty, delegitimized. Because people don't like to open their mind to stuff like this. I'm not, like, sitting here 100% saying, like, I believe in, like, any of this stuff, but, like, if you don't open your mind to stuff like this and like research it and look into it and see what's possible and like if any of this stuff could actually exist and what reasoning there could be for it existing, like you're leaving a lot of questions up in the air that like I'm not comfortable with leaving. Like, I want to know if there's, like, wild men running around the fucking woods, man. You know?
So we have a Second Amendment in this country.
It's true. Part of the reason that we, like, are so against, like, investigating these things and people scoff at it is because it's not seen as a part of mainstream science, because it's not. And one of the, like, I would say one of the consequences of, like, the Enlightenment and the scientific revolution is that we have left the world we used to inhabit. Like, for example, like, if you ever studied the Puritans of New England, they lived in what's been called by scholars the world of wonders, or a world of wonders, where everything around them was not as we would see it. They lived in a world where there were demons in the woods, where there were odd signs in the sky, where things that are supernatural happened on a daily basis. We live in a world that is materialist. We live in a world where matter is the end-all be-all. Anything beyond matter is no longer real. Anything that is beyond provable by science cannot be real. The scientific method reigns supreme. And that makes it so that a lot of these things, which we basically can't prove by the scientific method, are just not, they're just not possible for the majority of people.
Which, I mean, if you ask a caveman before fire was you know, discovered, if, like, about fire, you know, if they could speak English clearly and explain this, right? They would not be able to tell you what the fuck it is, you know? Like, there's no, like, easy to explain reason for someone with, like, with that lack of information, like, how fire comes to be, right? Now
well,
we know.
Like, if you go back, it's like if you go back to 1850 and show somebody a cell phone, they're gonna burn you, they're gonna fucking blow your brains out because it's witchcraft.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
But like, it's all about context, right? Like nowadays, a lot of people, if a UFO landed in Washington D.C. and it did all sorts of alien shit, a lot of people be like, "Oh yeah, it's just alien shit. We don't understand it. It'd be like magic." But if you did it 400 years ago, where nobody had any context to the possibilities that could be done with science and materials and technology, it'd be witchcraft. It's timing.
If you tell someone about a UFO abduction from 400 years ago in Ireland or England, they would tell you, "Oh yeah, you were taken by the
fairies. A fairy or something grabbed you.
You were taken by the fairies." Which to me also like shows like there's a continuity in time with a lot of these things.
Yeah, these things have happened and will continue to happen.
This continuity is ultimately shaped by our worldview, and we live in a scientific worldview. We live in a materialist worldview. The people of the past lived in a supernatural worldview, where saints and angels and demons walked the earth, and miracles occurred. And that still happens in some parts of the world today, and even in the West, in America. I know somebody who has a guy with a PhD, actually, who he's Eastern Orthodox, and he has seen a crying icon of Mary.
Huh.
And I can't explain that. And they took tissue. They took a tissue and they absorbed the stuff that was crying, and they tested and it smelled like frankincense. And they had a lab tested and it was frankincense. The postcard of the icon on the wall was crying frankincense. I can't explain why that icon was crying frankincense. Nobody can explain why that icon cried frankincense. They were not putting frankincense on it. People were standing there watching it cry with the priests in like wonder. Like, what is happening?
Yeah. There's
but
this...
that's something we can't explain that happens.
Yeah. Plays into that. There's a story of I think it might be a Indian like god, like a statue of it or something. They'd hold a spoon of milk up to its nose and the milk would disappear, and they thought that like the god was like drinking the milk. Turns out there's like some like weird explanation of like how fucking there was like a small vacuum in the thing because there's like a hole in the trunk and everything, and it was like sucking the milk up, right? Like how you would do with a straw. Right, stuff like that. Like they were convinced That like this god was just drinking the milk that they were holding up. And of course people tried to feed it like beer and liquor and stuff. Because why wouldn't you?
Legends.
get the god like, drunk, you know.
That's the thing. There are things like that where it's fully explainable. Like that.
Yeah.
And then there are things like the icon crying frankincense.
Yeah.
A tree that grows in, I believe, Africa and the Middle East. an icon is not going to cry about processed frankincense in the middle of Western Pennsylvania on a concrete wall. It's not going to do it. But it did. And I just question why it did that. Because I'm not like, see, I don't
that's,
necessarily.
That's kind of shit I'd have to see before I start believing anything like that.
There's too many questions. The guy that I know that saw it, like I had him as a presser like 3 or 4 times. I trust him. I trust
their word. I don't really trust anybody's word on things until I either have evidence or I see it.
Yeah. And I had another professor who's like, to me, the unexplained, very religious guy. I went to a Christian school, very religious guy. No explanation for it. He's like, yeah, me and my friend went into his office hours, asked him about Bosnian pyramids because we were being schizo, right?
We talked about this before.
And like, I'm not convinced he's correct, but they're not real, but like, I respect them a lot.
I keep getting videos about Bosnian pyramids now on TikTok.
Not the vibe that we are like, we were interested in these weird things. He's like, you know, like something strange happened to me one time. I'm going to tell you guys about it. I'm like, all right,
band camp.
No. And he was saying, he's like, I like to sit with my daughter in the backyard, my young daughter, and lie on the trampoline, look at the stars, and point at the constellations. And he's like, and we were out there one time, and these three slow-moving, low, black triangles just obscured the view of the sky and just kept going. And he's like, and I don't know what that was. And I was like, oh, black triangles.
Stealth aircraft, common... probably?
No. Slow-moving. Like, and he described them as, like, the size of, like, football fields. And I was like, that's, like, the black triangles, like, that is a common, like, UFO. And I said, like, doctor, like, I think you have seen, like, one of the more common types of UFOs seen in the U.S. It's like, that's very odd. Very odd.
Well,
and, like, these are people that, like, are not, like, you wouldn't call them rationalists because they are, like, very religious people.
Yeah.
He was a Presbyterian, but, like, these are, like, people that would, like, you know, they're committed to, like, academia and committed to exploring, like, their particular fields objectively and not, like, falling prey to, you know, like, dogma or bias. They're committed to finding the truth about things. And they've both seen things they cannot explain and that, like, captivated them for a little bit and said, like, I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
But most people, like, when they see those things, like, they'll write them off and say, I don't know what it was, but, you know, I can't be bothered because it disrupts my normal life.
I mean, you look at it, I mean, what really could you do about it? You look at it, like, you think to yourself, oh, that could be experimental aircraft, aliens, something other, like, paranormal. Then you're like,
we can't, like, throw the stone at them because we've both had very odd experience in the woods, and then we saw something very odd that night, and what do we do about it? We didn't do anything about it. Like, that's weird, man. Like, let's go back to like hiking and like just like messing around.
Yeah, like I mean, to be honest, right? When you see stuff like that, really, what are you gonna do about it? Because as long as it doesn't fucking kill you,
like that's cool. Like that's I'm glad I saw that.
Yeah, it's
like,
interesting.
It didn't traumatize me. I'm glad it happened.
It adds some mystery to the world that we're otherwise lacking nowadays because everything can be so easily explained that wasn't before. And I think
That's probably why people are really into this, like, cryptozoology. It's because people, like I said, people need religion and mythology. People lack mystery in the world. Like, the world is not a land of mystery, but there's those people that need that mystery, and they'll seek it out.
Yeah.
They won't decide to drown themselves in reality. They'll decide to seek it out.
Some of those people. We'll get into the next topic. Some of those people get into topomancy. Because they seek out that interesting, mystical part of life.
The two of you, you started this. I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Now you can have your talk without me interjecting about demons.
So, Brad, did you look up anything about tulpas?
Not really, no.
So, we'll talk about this. There was that video I sent in, which was really funny, and, I forget the guy's YouTube channel, but he did a video highlighting this Reddit page that is r/tulpamancy, I think, r/tulpas. And it truly is like it reads like self-induced schizophrenia, and you can read into it on There's a good blurb on the Wikipedia page about it if you want to click a quick look up, but let me flip to my notes here. Generally, it's a I forget where is it. It has to do with like theosophy and mysticism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very paranormal thing where you focus on something so hard that it becomes real, whether it be like a different like a being, like a person, or like a different fucking like version of yourself.
That's just like manifestation, ain't it?
In a way, yeah. It plays into that, but this has its own like thoughts and feelings,
right? Okay.
And actions and stuff.
So it's like a voodoo thing.
Let me pull up. I forget what exactly what culture it comes from. Yes, it is a seems to be a Buddhist thing in Tibetan manifestation.
Okay.
Type dealio. But yeah, it's like focusing on something, and you create like a thought form of something, and it becomes its own like being, right?
Okay.
So a lot of people think that like they can do this. They call themselves Tulpamancers, and they make like their own version of themselves, it's almost like an imaginary friend is the easiest way to describe it. Except it's to them it's not imaginary, right? To them it's like a very real thing.
This is like having like an AI girlfriend.
Yeah, kind of.
What are we on here? AI girlfriends, I heard.
AI girlfriend.
I hear gunshots in the distance right now.
It's fireworks. Yeah, they're real close to me. I think it's on the lake. I think it's some of my neighbors. I hope they're fireworks. I always let my dog outside, and my dog like ran back in.
My dog just started freaking out.
Yeah, so did mine.
Yeah, I mean,
we're the hood.
It's funny because it's mentioned, like, thought forms are mentioned in a couple different things. It's not just, like, the Buddhist, like, you know, finding enlightenment type stuff where you're, like, you're trying to, you know, focus so much on a thought form of yourself that is, like, at spiritual enlightenment and stuff and, like, become it, right? Like, that's kind of where, like, the old stuff came from, but there's like a bunch of occult shit that like plays into like thought forms and stuff, which I mean plays into the fact that it could be demons.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
And that's what, because it's in the Book of the Dead. The Slender Man has been described by some people as a tulpa effect, and that's on the Wikipedia page about it. Which is interesting. So, but yeah, people on the subreddit, they make their own like little imaginary friends, and they like treat them as like very real people, and it reads like schizophrenia. Not exactly schizophrenia though. I think what do they call it?
I think it's a multiple personalities.
Multiple personality disorder might play into it. There's also RS, which is pretty closely related with it, where you're like, it's basically like a self hypnosis reality like shifting thing. It's like people use it as like a means to escape like a current reality, right? Like it's probably pretty commonplace in like PTSD, like and stuff like that. People who are hallucination prone people often end up like dabbling in this stuff and like participating in like the Reddit and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's weird.
I'm of the opinion that it's probably demonic in origin.
It definitely can be.
Especially since what do you call it? Like a lot of the people like sorry, I just got a text message that was important.
I will say a common thread between all this is 4chan.
Because X has a lot of this.
His communities popped up on 4chan about like
a bunch of fucking crazy, chronically aligned people decided to make shit like this.
The succubus summoning thing on 4chan that we joked about earlier, that is related to Tulpas.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is, like, the Tulpamancy thing, that was actually new to me. The Tulpas I knew about, probably influenced by you and me watching Supernatural too long, was,
Well, this is the other thing that
something that,
that it plays
yeah, something
into.
That is in like the common psyche for long enough can become real. So not that people are intentionally summoning it, but that people believe it's real long enough, and that people have enough of like a psychic impact can create it and make it real. Yeah. Like things like the Rake or the Enderman.
The actual
the Enderman, Slenderman.
The actual concept is just a materialized thought form.
Yeah. My only issue with that sort of thing, though, too, is, like, what else would be real? That, like, as I accidentally just said, Enderman, like, the amount of kids that play, like, Minecraft and creepers would be rolling around neighborhoods
right.
and stuff, blowing things up. Right. Like, it wouldn't just be, like, Slenderman.
Well, I mean, yeah, to play into that, right, like, with the when it mentions thought forms and stuff on here, it talks about, I mentioned this earlier, the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Yes, sir.
It's, you got William Walker Atkinson mentioning it in a book, The Human Aura, where he describes thought forms and ethereal objects and auras and all that, right? Which plays into the whole manifestation thing for a lot of people, which is, I find that interesting. That people are so like into that like kind of new age stuff now,
yeah.
And there's like whole communities like surrounding this kind of stuff. Some of Once them again, just trying to live out their My Little Pony fantasies because they're all fucking weird.
That's the disturbing one that I found was that a lot of it is associated with My Little Pony.
Yeah, unfortunately so.
But once again, the new age thing you talk about like that's people reaching for spirituality and religion and stuff in a world that's not necessarily friendly to it. Definitely not necessarily friendly to institutional religion.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the Tulpamancy of the day is the Gawisha of yesterday. The summoning of demons, which happens today as well.
I did some research on
sometimes, but I listened to a podcast recently about people that are, like, different. There's different, I found out there's different, like, magical orders in this country. And,
really?
Like magic, yeah, like societies of wizards and stuff. And there's schools and stuff that they like go to, and so they're made more like a camp. But like,
oh my god, it's Harry Potter.
Like, yeah, but like you can like ascend in like different like levels and orders, like in the Freemasons.
Oh, this
and
just sounds like a multi-level marketing
scheme.
If you get enough people into our club, we'll make you a grand wizard.
There's no money involved or anything that I know of.
Well, that's how the Illuminati started, was like kind of a scam to take over like government, apparently. I looked into that. It's really funny.
I mean, I think it might be working quite well.
No, like the OG Illuminati, which failed, by the way. The guy...
Yeah.
And the guy who originally started it delegated and said, oh, there is no higher order. You make it up. To like his star people, which is really funny.
Like, a lot of these people, like, they'll buy books and they'll do, like, lesser banishing rituals, greater banishing rituals, summoning rituals and stuff like that, using, like, the pentagram as their main, like, focus.
Yeah.
And candles and stuff like that. And, like, that's very interesting to me, but, like, I don't, like, I'll never engage with that because I think it's demonic. But
so
like,
I've read a lot about it, about that stuff. I've read about, like, the grimoires and stuff that they use for this stuff and, like, what's contained in them. Right, like, and I read about like some demonology stuff recently and watched some videos on it. And what I find interesting is the common thread is they're all grimoires, they're all written around the same time, it seems like, where it's like the 1400s and stuff, like mid, medieval
14 to 1600s, I era. Think is the sweet spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Late medieval to early modern.
Where it was commonplace, apparently, to practice, like, black magic and stuff and all that, because paganism was still well and alive.
Yeah. Well, no, paganism was not still well and alive. Paganism died in Europe in the 1100s in Lithuania with the final crusade against pagan Europe.
Might be.
Folk tradition was alive and well.
I get the two mixed
specifically
up.
Like folk witchcraft traditions, which people like conceptualize actually as meeting with the devil and stuff like that. But I read an interesting thing recently about that, where it's actually suggested that they would like a lot of these witches would, when they would fly out on their like brooms or whatever to like meet Satan in like the woods and with their coven, they would get in like a pot or something like that, or like their bed, and they would rub a balm on them, consisting of things like henbane, like wolfsbane.
Mentioned this before, yeah.
Yeah, those things are powerful disassociatives at certain doses. And priests would come and look at them while they're doing this stuff, and it's like, no, you didn't leave your bed. You were like disassociated.
You had an out of body experience.
Like, you had an out of body experience, and you didn't realize that like you were not, that like, it was a drug experience.
Yeah.
Which like begs the question, like, is it entirely a drug experience, or is there something more like esoteric to
it? So this is interesting, because in the, now that you mention this, in the book Touch Me Not, I think is what it's called. I think it's a grimoire. I think it might be that one, but it's an old book. You could, for some reason, you could just buy these on Amazon, by the way. So are they really like, I feel like
they're reprints,
you know, it's kind of nuts how readily available these things are. These days,
classical publishers, you know,
but it details how to summon the literal devil. I'm pretty sure. And that could be a different one. But it also details how to summon a demon for treasure hunting, I think. Because that was pretty commonplace. I don't know if you knew about that. Demonic treasure hunting was like a very real thing. We should do an episode on that, because that's really fun.
Sounds like a Diablo 4 mechanic.
It does. And it's interesting, because you also, like, treasure hunting in general was apparently pretty commonplace, and you needed a treasure hunting license back in the day to, like, do it. Like, dig shit up for the king. Like, you'd get, like, contractor to do it. But they detailed how you summon this is you, like, take a fuck ton of, like, I think it was, like, DMT or something related. Like, very strong hallucinogenics. And then looking at, like, horrid images in the book.
That's
and, like,
terrible.
And, like, flipping through it until you, like... Until
so
like,
you had a psychotic break and you would hear
basically,
his
yeah. And, until you had a full, it was basically inducing like paranoid schizophrenia, which is awesome.
Insane.
Just
I don't
so
know if it's
sick.
Awesome, but like,
it's you know,
dude, it's sick. It's sick and twisted, man. I love stuff that's sick and twisted.
Yeah. So there's stuff like that detailed in those books, which is really interesting. There's also like long lists of demons to summon and stuff, because you need to know their names and rank and everything to summon them. Really interesting stuff. I don't see it as a problem to actually research this stuff, because the more you look into it, the more the stronger your faith gets for sure. And
I mean, academic
the stuff you know,
terrible.
You'll know the stuff to avoid.
Having an academic knowledge isn't terrible. I would never like research these things like you do, just because I'm of the belief that it's not.
Well, I know God will protect me.
I think you know that's good that you know that.
God made Smith and Wesson.
Did he? I thought that was Smith and Wesson that made Smith and Wesson.
Daniel Cole made it.
You know what they say, brother? They say that God made man. Samuel Colt made man equal.
Damn straight. But yeah.
As
a little aside, that's, stuff like that. I think we should do a full episode on something like that, because that stuff is interesting.
We could do a full episode on some of these potentially. I don't know how much I'll be contributing, because I don't know how much I'll actually do the research. I have like a you, we I would not be opposed to doing an episode of them. And I could just offer my opinion on the things.
Yeah,
doing a lot of
I can.
I'm genuinely not comfortable doing a ton of research on like Guisha and stuff like that.
Okay,
but look, we definitely do an episode on it.
There's a YouTuber that I watch.
I'll just like say the Lord's Prayer the whole time. You'll just hear me in the background. Like, Hallowed art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
I just
come, thy will be done.
I find it interesting because you can read about a lot of this stuff in a book called Demonology by King James the First. You know,
that does interest me, is that people who was like, you know, the head of the Anglican Church wrote a book about demonology.
Right. The reason, you might find this interesting, in the Catholic Church, I believe, which might give you more ammunition to make fun of the Catholics.
I don't need more, Nick.
they're priests that perform exorcisms.
Exorcist is a lesser like level of like friar or something like that, isn't it? Or a priest. It's a specific occupation in the church.
But they go into in-depth research about this stuff. And they research how to combat it and stuff. And that's why, and I think Demonology is one of the books that they have them read, right? So
yeah, potentially. I would be surprised if they had them read Demonology, considering that Demonology is not written by a Catholic. I believe I know King James is a Protestant. I mean, the KJV kind
of,
Bible.
They also have one
King
of the most quote-unquote most dangerous grimoires in the Vatican, like, locked
allegedly,
away.
Allegedly, yeah.
The Red Dragon, I think is what it's called, grimoire. It literally details how to summon the devil. So they have that locked. They probably changed it to avoid anyone actually like attempting
It's like the Anarchist Cookbook, right? The CIA or the FBI, whatever, got a hold of the original copy, and now when you try to make it, you make thermite and you burn your hands off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what are we running on runtime?
We've done 43 minutes on this part.
That, really? Oh, on this part. Okay,
yeah,
yes,
the other. I have to edit the other one.
Yeah,
probably.
We've been a while.
Yeah. Now we're just kind of going off on tangents.
Is,
but we could.
Yeah, my big thing. I'm trying to find where it says this, but I'm looking through my book right now.
The good book.
The good book, yes, sir. It's a. Basically, it says like I don't necessarily believe in like exorcists, as you said.
Yeah.
Because in the Gospels, Christ says that him with true faith can cast out demons. But I will say that that does not necessarily mean, in my opinion, that like you just need to have faith to cast out a demon. Because he says that after the disciples failed to cast out a demon, right? And he says you do not. He essentially it alludes that you don't have true faith. But he also says at the end, he's like, but this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting.
Right.
Meaning there could be some sense of ritual involved with casting out certain classes of demon or certain types of demons.
That is the thing that they detail, I think, in the study. I'd be interested to talk to someone who is an exorcist. Look into this, because I'm curious what they have them study for all of that, because they do have prayers and stuff that is specific to like performing an exorcism.
Dude, you could probably like go down to St. Mary's.
Oh, probably. I'm sure there's like, someone I could talk to.
Ask the priest. Like you're a baptized Catholic, right?
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah, you could go ask.
I'm confirmed.
They try and exorcise me for being freaking Protestant, but you know, they try and do an exorcism on me.
Well, Jimmy,
you know, it's funny. I think you dislike the Catholics more than the Catholics dislike you.
No, absolutely not. Actually, no. I don't think so. No? I've met a lot of. Like, I don't know about the Catholic Church's official stance, but I've known a lot of Catholics that are very, very vehemently against Protestants and see me as someone who's going to hell. Same thing with Orthodox.
I'd have to look that up.
Not necessarily just because I'm a Protestant, but a lot. I'm a Calvinist.
Yeah.
And a lot of Catholics and Orthodoxy Calvinists specifically as heretics or heterodox. Whereas, like, they'll say, like, a Methodist or something is, like, someone who's in the faith but not of the true church. They don't, like, they, like, Calvinists skew so far away from what they believe in, like, terms of, like, original sin and predestination and stuff like that and total depravity that they a lot of them view us as, like, not Christians.
Here's a little, here's my secret, Connor. I don't believe in predestination or any of that. Like,
I'm gonna kill you. And it's been predestined.
So.
No, and it's not predestined, it's premeditated.
That's all right. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up because I think we've kind of
talked a ton about tulpas, but tulpas is a big topic.
That is a big topic. That might even need a part two. But generally, like, it's
what you should take away from this is that tulpas, you're basically summoning demons. Don't do it.
Yeah. Or what you could take away from it is that you are manifesting shit that you could lose control of.
Or manifest $1 million.
Or you should take away from it that you're schizophrenic and should seek professional help.
And
if you start exhibiting the signs that some people do where they say that they let the tulpa take control of their body and they black out during it, you should seek psychiatric help because you likely have multiple personalities.
Yes.
Generally, like,
reality shifting might be occurring.
A lot of these things I read about the tulpas and stuff, it really just seems like people have multiple personality disorder and they don't know how to diagnose it and they don't know what it is. And they think that they're manifesting a tulpa, but they're really just disassociating and becoming a completely different person.
Reality shifting. Like
they'll have an allergy and their tulpa won't have it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We're still not real.
Stop summoning demons or get psychiatric help. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Like, you very well may be so schizophrenic that you never even actually heard this podcast and we're not real.
So, I don't know.
I know I'm not real.
I don't know that I am real. And I don't know that Nick's real.
I don't know that any of you are real. So.
Have we ever met Nick?
I've never met Nick.
We are real because we both heard the same gunshots. And actually, as I didn't bring it up, but like a minute or two after you said that, I did hear more. And those are gunshots, not fireworks.
We're the hood.
That's really awesome because that came from my neighborhood.
So, I did it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a yikes. You want to go out?
No, I'm good.
You want to get away from the house for a bit, brother? Come like 5 minutes away over here.
Well, you'll hear us on our next episode. There may be one less member of the podcast group because they may be shot outside their house gangster style.
Yeah, oh, likely too, because I live 5 minutes from Nick.
Well, it's right, just a solo Brad podcast. All right.
Let's wrap this thing up. It's been a joy. It's been a joy talking about crazy shit again. We will hear from us again soon about whatever your other crazy ass topic. Enjoy yourself.
It might be more normal next week.
See us next week. Catch us on Patreon if we have one by then. Who knows? We're not greatly organized, but you know, we're doing better now.
I'm locked in a closet for 10 hours at a time editing these, and I've not made enough headway. And they might whip me again.
I'm locked in a wine warehouse.
So.
I wish I was editing. I'm locked in a wine warehouse lifting boxes that are 45 pounds.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well.